This morning we are going to be discussing what our duties and our responsibilities are as servants to the Lord. I'd been wanting to do this talk for a while, probably the last more now than ever, but for probably the last 3 or 4 years. Not only in my personal life, but what I've been seeing going on as becoming a brother. So, if you know, there's been talks recently that last few months that have impacted me personally, almost to the point where I thought the brother was talking about me only. And you know, if that's the way we take this exhortation this morning, then, you know, we all have things to work on. And this talk is about me and about my personal struggles. Duty is what one ought to do. Its root meaning is to owe or what is due. Duty deals with heart, motives, and purpose for living, which determines one reason for certain kinds of conduct. Duty includes a responsibility to discuss personal assets, as in talents, skills, and abilities, and utilize them and continuously improve for God, self, and family. Each person's destiny is shaped by their own choices, their own deliberate selections and rejections. Every person is the sum total of the choices they have made. Duty determines virtues and vice versa. Commitments demonstrate character. Sterling character is shown as goodness, uprightness, integrity, honesty, and morality. To answer the question, why duty? It is necessary to consider the alternatives to, or the opposite of duty. To consider a society and life where duty is disregarded or rejected, the obvious result is selfishness, rebellion, and chaos. Life itself is a privilege offered by our Creator, Yahweh. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Therefore, it is one's debt to live their life to glorify Yahweh. The motive for duty is love from the heart. Let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. As believers, our purpose should be based on the first commandment. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's also turn to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. You know, and one of the other reasons why I'm giving this talk is I have a foreman at work that keeps questioning himself and his abilities. And that's because of me, because of the things sometimes that I say, my tongue, the outbursts sometimes that I have, and them are the things that I have to work on. This is another reason for this talk, is not only, for the ecclesia, but it's for myself. Our first and foremost duty is to God. Our second duty is to yourself. Our third duty is to the ecclesia. Our fourth duty is to family. And our fifth duty is to society. And what I mean by that is that we are to obey the laws of the land. We are to respect the laws of the land that are given to us as God commanded. We are to be ready for every good work. We are to be ready for every good work. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's also turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We also must have a pattern of good works in our lives. We must also have a pattern of good works in our lives. Turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 7. Titus chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. We are to be careful what we say, because what we say can hurt others and ourselves. We're to be careful what we say and how we say it can hurt others. Let's turn to James. James chapter 3, starting with verse 1. James chapter 3, starting with verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in the word, the same is perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold us the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that is defileth the whole body, and setteth on the fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The tongue can cause strife. The tongue can cause strife. Let's read James 3. Stay in James 3. I'm sorry, back one chapter. James 3, verses 14 and 16. That's what, James 3, 14 and 16. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Strife and contention are easy to spread. Strife and contention are easy to spread. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. Proverbs 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. We should strive to make peace and life at peace ourselves. And that's the one I've been working on. We should strive to make peace and life at peace ourselves. Let's turn to Matthew again, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Let's turn to Romans 12, verse 18. Romans 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And also 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 13. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. We must show a spirit of gentleness and humble to all. We must show a spirit of gentleness and humble to all. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. First and most importantly, we must first love one another as Christ loved us. Let's turn to John. Verse, chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This means that our love for each other must be constant, sacrificial, and unconditional. This means that our love for each other must be constant, sacrificial, and unconditional. And that unconditional is a hard word, because no matter what, we're supposed to love each other unconditionally. Let's turn to 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Our love must not be self-serving, but Christ-like in his dedication to the betterment of others. It must not delight in evil. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. According to Scripture, there is no place for strife in our love for one another, nor are we to keep records of our offense. Our offenses against each other. Still in 1 Corinthians 13, let's turn to verse 4 through 7. We'll continue on at verse 4. Charity suffereth long, and it is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth in all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. On the contrary, if we truly love one another, as Christ loved us, we will be patient and forbearing, quick to forgive, trusting, and ready to protect one another from all enemies of the faith. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And all that we do or say, we are to strive for things that lead to peace. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9. Romans 12, starting with verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothfulness in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in instant prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things, but consented to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We must not participate in strife or contention, but instead consciously to seek peace and pursue it. As peacemakers, we must carefully follow biblical principle whenever it becomes necessary to resolve conflict with others. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men, or pursue peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We must never forget that peace is the very essence of that which was pursued for us by the blood of Christ. Let's turn to John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And also Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These principles by no means exhaust the demands of love in our relationship to each other as members of Christ's body. But we do believe that these teachings express the essence of our basic duties and responsibilities towards one another. It is never easy to deal with problems that arise between us, but deal with them we must. For to do any less is to skirt our responsibilities and duties to one another as fellow members of the body of Christ. Love both cares and disciplines. We have to hear the truth. I'm sorry. When we hear the truth, but do not implement it, we deceive ourselves and displease our Lord. Turn to James, chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. But when we both hear and do that which is Christ commands us, we will be happy and we will be blessed. Turn to John's chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 17. If you know these things, happy are ye all. Happy are ye if ye do them. I'd like to close with reading Jude. Starting with verse 2. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There are certain men crept unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll therefore put you in remembrance that ye, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels was kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life, eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak of evil those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainslaying of Kor. These are the spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. They are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and have some, and of some have compassion, make a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you.